Well, we're rolling right along in our Advent series that we're calling Following the Light. We're already to the third Sunday, in fact, of Advent. Our time waiting for hope and love and joy and peace is marching forward. We're going right ahead. Now, if you haven't been able to be with us for the last couple of weeks, we talked about how taking time to remember the events leading up to Jesus' birth in these weeks as we anticipate that leading up to celebrating Jesus' birth, gives us both hope and love. There is hope, especially as we consider that all the players in the story that the Bible shares with us were just as imperfect as we are. And yet, Jesus showed up for them. He showed up for them, so there's hope for him to show up for us as well. And we find love, too, as we reflect on the longer view of history, that Jesus' arrival wasn't really the start of his love for us. It was a major event, a major demonstration of that, but it wasn't the start of his love for us. He loved us even before he created us. And we're calling this Advent series Following the Light, as I mentioned, because the wise men followed the light that they described as a rising eastern star. And aside from that, Jesus is the light of the world, right? He's the bright and morning star. So we want to follow him this Advent season as we wait expectantly for the day that we celebrate his coming to earth. And so as we continue following the light this Advent season, we're going to focus in today on another piece that we find as we embrace this waiting for him, this time of waiting, this Advent season, and that is joy. Now, joy is an amazing thing. It can be the fuel that gives us light to our daily lives, even in this dark world. And I find in my own life, though, and I hear and see in the lives of others sometimes, that joy is too often misunderstood. I see all too often that joy is confused with happiness. And we get those things mixed around in our minds and our hearts way too easily, even when we know better. And other than the obvious reason of sin, you know, I really don't know why we have such a struggle with that. But we do. And joy is funny like that. We just can't seem to always have a right attitude about joy. And joy is funny for other reasons, too. You know, it doesn't fit neatly with our understanding of what the world is usually like. You know, it shows up regularly in situations where we least expect joy to be, often in very painful times. Now, I've often heard mothers talk about experiencing an incredible sense of joy, even during the pain of childbirth. And maybe we can explain that away like, oh, she's expecting this joy, this new birth, this child, and what joy that's going to bring. And so she's feeling that joy from that. But I also understand, and I know that if we ask some mothers about that, they might say, you know what? No, that's not enough. That wouldn't cover that kind of pain, right? We wouldn't just feel joy in spite of all that. But there are other moments, too, that joy shows up. And we just don't have an explanation. Now, we've all read about or heard about, and many of us have even experienced firsthand, an incredible and an unexplainable joy, even during certain trials in our lives. Times when we've experienced deep pain and hurt, even as we maybe grieve a great loss, such as a close friend or a loved one. Just how does joy find its way into those spaces in our lives? And have you ever noticed that, you know, not just when this angel came and told the shepherds that, you know, I bring you good news of great joy, not just that time, but pretty much any time an angel shows up in Scripture, just about every time they do that, the first words out of the angel's mouth are, do not be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. That's the first words they say. I've often wondered why that is. Why do they always say, don't be afraid? I've come to the conclusion that angels have to be at least a little scary looking, you know? Angels have to be at least a little scary looking. They can't be as sweet and as cute and as nice as we make them to be. They just don't look like that, I don't think. You know, for one thing, every angel in Scripture that is mentioned is male. So, you know, there's the first sign right there that they might be a little scarier than that. But every time they show up, they say, don't be afraid. It's like that's how they greet people. Hi, don't be afraid. Hi, yeah, don't be afraid. It's okay, God sent me, you know, but you're really scary looking. Yeah, I know, but one day you'll see this as beauty, right? You know, just for now, don't be afraid. Now, I get it. The angels are probably not just talking about their looks when they're saying don't be afraid. They're talking about it for other reasons as well, but I've always wondered just how scary and ugly they have to be to make this their go-to greeting. Now, as we look, though, and remember the narrative of Jesus' birth, And we think about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and they all heard this statement, do not be afraid. And the shepherds in particular, I think, give us a really good picture of this experience of an angel speaking to them. You know, these were shepherds. They were no cowardly men. These guys were out in the desert against the elements day in and day out, often all by themselves, right? They would have seen a lot of stuff in their years in those rugged outdoors. They'd have seen a lot of stuff. They're guys that likely fought off predators and bandits and thieves to protect their sheep. These were tough guys. And the Bible tells us that night they weren't isolated and alone. There were several of them together. They were not flying solo that night. They had some strength in numbers too. So there was really no reason for them to be afraid that night. But when the angel appeared in the sky that night, they were. They were afraid, weren't they? Here's how Luke describes that scene. It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The angel had good news for these guys. It was news that would give great joy for all people. That was the message that this angel brought to the shepherds. But first, that angel had to calm their fears for some reason. And then after that, after he told them the good news, the whole sky was suddenly filled with this army of angels that was just absolutely exploding with joy. It goes on to say in verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And so this is our starting point for today as we look to add joy to the list of things that we find in our expectant waiting for our King. As we wait for the opportunity to celebrate his birth, as we wait for him to meet us in our needs today, as we wait for him to return and establish his kingdom on earth. We're going to look at the joy that's talked about here in Luke 2. And so if you haven't already opened your Bibles, grab them now, turn there. You know, some folks don't like to mark in their Bibles, but I say, what is that margin space for anyway? You know, if they didn't want you to mark it, they should have just made the print all the way to the edges, right? So mark in them, right? Get their Bibles out and make some notes. Let's get into it here, though, this morning. One of the things that I hinted at already that we find out about joy, at least this joy here that's described in Luke 2, and one of the reasons that I find joy so interesting is that joy and pain cohabitate. They live together. They're one. They live in the same space. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, do you remember the smile on Ali's face this morning in that video after she spoke about her salvation? It was just pure joy, wasn't it? I mean, it was just absolute joy. Now, even though many of the aspects of her life had not changed, I mean, her situation didn't change, right? She still lived in Phnom Penh. She still had to deal with the harsh reality of living with the memories of how her family had treated her and the pain she went through, the financial struggles of her family, the deep emotional wounds that left her so broken that she hardly spoke when Heather met her. Now, even though those things were still very real to her, she still was filled with joy because her new identity in Christ impacted every single part of who she was. It was all of her. It's a strange thing about joy. You know, naturally, we believe and behave as if joy only comes when pain is removed. That's what we like to think, especially here in America, where we can remove a lot of pain really, really quickly from our lives, right? But the truth is, in our fallen world, joy and pain exist side by side. In fact, there's no real way to separate these two. And we're constantly having to find the balance between joy and pain as we walk through the experiences of our life. And in fact, I would say that without experiencing pain or without experiencing struggles, I think there's a case to be made that we wouldn't be able to experience joy either, because you have to know one to know the other, right? Tim Keller, in fact, in his book, Walking Through Pain and Suffering, says this about the gospel message. He says, the gospel teaches that contrary to fatalism, suffering is overwhelming. Contra to Buddhism, suffering is actually real. Contrary to karma, suffering is unfair. Contra to secularism, suffering is meaningful. There's purpose to it. And when it's faced rightly, it can drive us like a nail deep into the love of God and into more stability and spiritual power than you can imagine. Joy and pain live together. And the dichotomy of this message that the angel gave to the shepherds is for you and for me as well. Do not be afraid today. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the pain that you have to live with in your life. Don't be afraid of the hurts that you carry. Don't be afraid of the grief that you have to go through. Do not be afraid. What circumstances in your life are causing you fear right now? What do you feel afraid of? What is it that feels like it's just spinning out of control in your life? Where does the pain of life seem like it's holding you back from the joy of the Lord? Those are the places where those words from the angel that night to those shepherds impact us most deeply, right? Those are the places in our lives where that message is for us. Do not be afraid. There is good news of great joy, and it's for you. It's for all people. James echoes this idea that joy and pain exist together. And he actually takes it a little bit further, and he says that we're actually to consider our trials as pure joy themselves. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, if you're like me, when you're experiencing struggles and pains in your life, and you're in the middle of that, and you're hurting badly, and you're reading those words from James, and you might be thinking, really, James? Really? Facing this trial is joy to you, or it's supposed to be for me? I'm not seeing it. I'm not experiencing joy in my life. I'm not experiencing any joy at the moment. But James is not suggesting that we slap on a fake smile and pretend to move our way around the deep pains of our life. No, he's encouraging us that even in the midst of such deep pain and hardship, there's something broader and deeper that's going on. There's a broader perspective that reveals how our trials can grow us and mature us in our faith. How they can produce something in us of character that wasn't there before. Something new, something that couldn't have been gained any other way. Psalm 30 gives us some words to this mystery. It says, oops, I'm behind one there. Psalm 30 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." So yeah, we can grieve. We can cry out to God in those dark times of hurt and pain and disappointment in our lives. But as we wait on God, he's going to add joy into those moments. He's going to replace those things. He's going to transform those hurts into growth and a deeper faith, a closer walk with him. And while this type of growth is never easy, it can be filled with joy. As we walk in relationship with God, we can grow to experience the kind of joy that God wants for our lives, that comes from the understanding that there's more to our life than the pain and the hurt that we're experiencing today. There's a deeper reality at work. Holy Spirit is working in us, nourishing our souls, cleansing, refreshing, and renewing us. And so we have to understand that joy and pain, they do live in the same space. And the greatest part of that all is that even though we tend to get kind of like tunnel vision about that kind of stuff, about our pain, about our hurts, like, this is about me, even about our joy, we kind of get, you know, this is about me, right, when we're joyful too. But it's not. It's not just about us. This joy that we're talking about today and connection go hand in hand as well. Joy connects us. It connects us to others. It says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Did you know that joy is actually contagious? Now, we learned probably in grade school that yawns are contagious, and it's true. If you're yawning, you're going to see like three other people yawn, so don't do that or you're going to see me yawn. I didn't didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Tyus is still struggling with that. We'll get it sometime. He'll sleep through the night. But joy is contagious too. Try it out sometime. The next time you meet someone, give them a nice big smile. You know, this big old toothy grin. It's going to be hard. See, all you are smiling right now. It's hard not to smile back when you see somebody smiling at you. It's contagious. Somebody has to be in a pretty bad mood not to smile back at you when you give them a really big smile. And so can you imagine how that must have been that night when that angel told those shepherds and then the whole host of angels filled the sky and they're all shouting praises to God? Man, the shepherds had to be just filled with joy. And then they go running off to meet baby Jesus. The angel didn't tell everyone in the world, did he? He just told the shepherds. And that joy that they and that Mary and Joseph experienced spread far and wide to anyone who was open to it. This kind of joy, it just can't help itself but spreading around. Everyone has a chance to experience this joy because Jesus came to save every one of us. In fact, the coming of Jesus and the promise of his second coming are the source of joy for all creation. Jesus came to set things right, to redeem the world from sin and death. This good news wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't just for those who believed that Jesus would come that day. It was for the whole world. Everybody, right? This joy can't be contained by borders, by governments, by nationalities, by races. It cannot be contained. Our fear and our pain, they try to contain the joy. And they do a good job of it when we don't allow that joy and pain to live together, when we believe that joy can only exist outside of pain, when it's removed from us. But Psalm 96 gives us a beautiful picture of what this joy is actually like. It says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." You can just feel the joy resonating from that passage. Fear and pain and hurt, those things tend to isolate us. They keep us from community. They steal our joy. But allowing the joy of the Lord to bubble up in our lives, it brings connection, togetherness, community. It goes from my heart to yours and from your hearts to your neighbor's hearts and from your neighbor's to the whole world. It connects us to God and to each other. Real joy brings connection. And so what's our response to that? When we're facing trials and we have joy or when we're just experiencing joy, how do we respond to that? What do we do when joy interrupts our daily lives and plants itself right alongside the ordinary or even the painful parts of our lives? How are we to live in this balance of joy and pain? How do we allow God to build in our hearts the joy that he has in mind for every single one of us? Well, the answer to that one is simple, but as usual, it's not easy. And the answer is that we worship. We worship God. Joy calls us to worship. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" You know, sometimes it's easy to embrace the joy in our lives. You know, something happens that we see and it just warms our heart, and it so clearly points to God's goodness that there's just no other way that we can be except for joyful. But other times, our struggles and our hurts, the garbage of life kind of gets in the way, doesn't it? Those things kind of overwhelm us to the point where we get all trapped and just kind of wrapped up in our fear. And when that happens, joy begins to feel kind of distant, almost even impossible. The scripture demonstrates for us that the only appropriate response to that feeling in our lives and to the joy in our lives is worship. And as we read through the Psalms, it's painfully clear that sometimes the simple act of submission, of acknowledging the enormity of the hurt in our lives, the problems that we face, the pain we feel from it, and choosing to worship in spite of all of that is something that acts like a catalyst for joy so immense that it dwarfs even the greatest pain that we face. As we look at God and the reality of who he is, we see that those immediate problems and fears that were consuming us, we see that they start to be consumed by who God is, the greatness of our God. In the Luke passage today, we see the angel announcing the good news of great joy, and then we see this entire army of angels just praising God. The shepherds went right off to see baby Jesus, and they worshipped him, and then they went off telling everyone that they could find about what they saw and what they knew. Matthew tells us that the wise men also responded to joy with worship. It says in Matthew 2, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, when they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They responded to their joy with worship. Now just think about these scenes for a little bit here. What would that have looked like in those days? Now you've got shepherds out in the middle of a field breaking into song. There's a bunch of guys here with questionable scientific practices and weird costumes that are bowing and praying out loud. And yet, they let God's message of joy penetrate their hearts and sweep away their fear. They were drawn towards this amazing joy, towards God himself. This is what God is calling us into this Advent season. And we can experience what they were experiencing as we move toward the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. And as we live in the truth of the good news of his arrival to the world. And we know that that is the salvation that he brings. Peter says that our walk of faith in Jesus actually brings us a sense of joy. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's for us. That's for you today. Now, you might be sitting here thinking this morning, you know, yeah, Nate, that's great. That's awesome. But I'm not experiencing joy in my life right now. And I've tried to do these things, but my life is an absolute wreck right now. And I get that. I've been in some of those places. There's no doubt that the brokenness of our fallen world runs counter to the joy of Christ. And it's true that as we live in this broken place, we have to straddle the tension of our physical and our spiritual realities. Besides that, even though this Advent season is about good news of great joy that leads us to connection and worship, the truth is, in our brokenness, we too often do the opposite. We tend to dig into our hurt and our isolation, and that keeps us from this joy. This season is difficult. It's a lonely time for many of us. And if that's where you're finding yourself today, I want to encourage you to do a few things. First, take the time to connect with others. Take the time to connect with others. We already established that joy can be contagious. And just like the angels were messengers who sparked joy in so many people by just interacting with a few shepherds, God can absolutely use his love to reach you for joy through a friend or a neighbor or even a stranger. They will spark joy in your life. God can use them that way. The joy of God living in them can rub off on us. Colossians 2 reminds us of the power that God puts into the relationship between fellow believers. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have that I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and to the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom who are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." We are knit together in love so that we can live in the richness and fullness of the assurance of God. That is an amazing thing. And so instead of allowing our situations or our fear or our pain to isolate us, we need to allow ourselves to step into and to connect with others. The joy that is waiting for us right there. That connection brings joy. And there are a lot of people, even right here in this room, that are a great place to start if you need someone to listen to you or to pray with you and to worship with. Take the time to connect with others. And then the second thing is to make the choice to be purposefully thankful. Be purposefully thankful. We have to make the time for this kind of thing in our lives, to make the choice to be purposely thankful. And I know for me that that gratitude has a way of reminding me of the joy that I do have in my life and the reasons that I have to rejoice, even in the midst of deep hurt and pain. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Rejoice is kind of an amazing word, too. I like it almost even better than joy because it's this verb, rejoice, and it's got that prefix, that says repetition, rejoice, rejoice. It's joy practiced again and again and again. We're to practice joy again and again, even when it doesn't seem like it's working out all that great. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. What are the times in your life that God has filled you with joy in the past? Rejoice. Think on those things. What are those places in your life where His grace and His good gifts were plainly evident for you even today? Rejoice. Focus on those things. Focus on the ways that He is showing you His goodness. Rejoice. Make a list if you need to and put it on your dashboard or on your refrigerator, someplace you can see it every day and refer to it. And when you see it, release that in prayers of gratitude to the God who gives. He gave that to you. It reminds you of the joy you have and the joy that He wants to build into you. And when you get into that habit of doing that, don't be surprised that you have a growing sense of joy that's moving and shifting you from those dark places of isolation into connection and enjoyment. Take the time to connect, be purposefully thankful, and then finally, worship God for who He is. That's that third part, right? Worship. We have to fall down and worship. Worship God for who He is. And let's face it, the circumstances of life can steal our joy, can't they? But even in the darkest times, we can worship God. We can worship Him because it's not about what God does or what He doesn't do for my circumstances or for my expectations. It's not about what He does or doesn't do. It's about who He is, isn't it? His eternal love and faithfulness never change, even when our lives feel like this never-ending roller coaster. He's constant. He's right there. Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you continue to step one foot in front of the other, following the light of Jesus this Advent season? Will you bring your hurts and your pain, all of your brokenness to Him, and trust Him with the results? Will you open your heart to the God of the universe who came to the earth so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that we could experience the joy that He intends for our lives? Will you do that? Let's pray. Lord, we so need Your goodness and Your mercy in our lives. We are a broken and hurting people, and this world is it's a rough place. We don't have to look far for our pain and our fear that wants to consume us, that wants to eat up our hearts and our minds. Thank You, Lord, for the good news of great joy that is for all of us, for everyone, that Your Son Jesus has come to save us. Help us to live in the joy that You give us, to open our eyes to its existence, even alongside of our struggles. Help us to respond to Your joy in worship and submission to You. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail at those things. We want to be the source of joy to those around us that You call us to be. We want to do that this season. We want to do that all year long. Use us in that way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.